Greetings, travelers.
Travelers. Yes. I jumped ahead of you.
Yeah. Oh, that was good. You beat me. So.
Yes. I have to say a funny story that happened to me today. So I was in Lowe's because I've started doing gardening.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. My sister-in-law, it's exciting anyway. But I have this Dragonfly Inn shirt from Stars Hollow, which for those travelers that don't know what it is, it's a reference to Gilmore Girls. Mm. This name of the inn that the mother runs. Now, here is the funny thing about this. I am wearing yoga pants, flip-flops, and this t-shirt. Four different people came up to me asking me questions about where things were. Now, at Lowe's, they wear these red vests. Mm-hmm. I did not have a red vest on, but people kept coming up to me asking me where things were. And I'm like, do I just have this air of knowledge about me? So I decided I did.
That's the classic Parks and Rec, you know, when Ron Swanson walking through the Home Depot and the guy is like, get out, I know more than you. That's me in a spirit Halloween. So
yeah, that's true. That is very true. So yeah. Anyway, or in
most historical museums, I tend to do that too.
Again, very true. I just think it's hysterical to me because I was like, what? Yeah. And then this one guy asked me about houseplants and I was like, and he's like, you know, blah. And I said, well, they kind of look like this. And he goes, do you know what they're called? And I'm like, I don't, but I actually don't work here either. So I don't have to. That's what I said to him. I was like, yeah.
So gang, when you're out there and you're going through different shops, don't assume somebody works there. So,
well, if you do, just know you might get a fun response from me.
True. Now, we've got so many listener tales. We are catching up. Some of these date back to end of last year, early this year. We're trying our best. You guys keep sending more, which is amazing. We're catching up as fast as we can. And you guys love these episodes. So we're throwing more of these up as best we can. Let us know if we're doing too many. We'll slow them down. But you guys have turned on the fire hose. And we can't stop.
Can't stop, won't stop. And with that, Mark, take us away.
Yeah. So here we go, gang. We're getting right into listener tales direct from you all, read to you by us. And we'll chime in as best we can. So, all right. First one, I've never told this story to anyone except my fiance. However, after hearing a similar experience someone had on your podcast, I felt inclined to share mine. So,
wow. Okay.
I will start by saying I grew up in the middle of the Appalachian Mountains in a small town in Western Maryland. I always played outside in the woods that backed up to my family's property. The setup was actually super cool, and my house was on top of a huge man-made hill. I'm talking multiple people broke a bone on this hill when sledding in the winter. Love it. At the very bottom, our yard actually ended at a main road named Route 40. Oh, this sounds like a pet cemetery house, Erica.
Yeah, no, it absolutely does, and I'm a little terrified. I started getting terrified when the Appalachian Mountains came up, but I was like, you know, I'll just see where this goes. And now I don't want to know where it goes.
Yeah. And we have had some recent people talk to us about Appalachia. Yeah, it just depends on where you're at, gang. Just so you know, this is Maryland. So it's a bit more Appalachia. So, all right. But let's see, back to the hill. Once I got down there, a large sewer drain that ran under the road was my passageway into the woods. It was probably only about 500 feet or so and would open up onto the other side of the road into a stream. There were wild blackberries and raspberries growing back there, and I loved having this spot that seemed so private and magical. Love it. So one day when I'm about 14, I decided to venture further into the woods instead of just hanging out past the tunnel. But there wasn't much of a bank on either side of the stream, so I ended up having to walk in the water to keep going. I probably walked no more than half a mile before I came to a stop because my path was now blocked by a barbed wire fence. I thought it was odd to see it going across the water, but farmland surrounded my town, and it wasn't necessarily an unexpected thing to see. Luckily, I was able to barely squeeze through the middle of the wires and kept trudging on. After another 15 minutes or so, I finally had enough ground to walk to the right side of the stream. It was beautiful, warm, sunny day around 4 p.m., and suddenly the woods just got dark. I mean, not just sun behind the clouds, but almost like someone had put a mask over my eyes. I kept walking because what else could I do but go back into the water? And suddenly it was light again, like super bright, making me squint. I then realize I'm standing in a giant clearing. No trees to the left or right or in front of me that I could see, even in the distance. Only the ones behind me that I had stepped out of. And immediately I feel the energy shift, that there's some kind of pressure, mainly in my ears, like I was changing altitudes or something. But what made me freeze was that there were no sounds at all. Not from the woods, the stream, the birds, winds, nothing. Everything stood still until I began hearing a low humming sound. The best way I can describe it is like a dryer on the low cycle. But it got louder and louder. And when my ears popped, it seemed to snap me out of the trance I was in. I couldn't even control my body. I just started running back the way I came. Now, I know I was scared and frantic, but as I made it back to the stream and began kicking my legs so fast that I was drenching myself, I looked up and saw the sewage drain. In what seemed less than 5 minutes, I was back to the side of the road, nearly to the safety of my backyard. No barbed wire fence. I also know that I left my house sometime between 3 and 3:30. When I finally made it back to the front door, I run into the kitchen, and the clock on the oven said 3:17. Bethany.
Oh, wow. I don't love any of what just happened. Yeah, no, no, no.
Except for the running. You agree with the running?
Yep, absolutely on the running, and absolutely nope, nope, nope.
So do we think this is missing time? Do we think this was a parallel shift? Do we think this is a glitch in the matrix? Or what is your theory on this, Erica? I think she wound up in the Fae realm.
Well, in the Fae realm, or the other thing that actually kind of makes sense to me is we don't know. Government things can, and I'm not doing conspiracy here. It could be testing for something. Who knows, right? But if there's a barbed wire fence, generally you're not supposed to walk through it. So,
right.
If you know, because it's either keeping you out or something in. So people forget that part, is that sometimes barbed wire is set up to keep something in, like around prisons. Yep. So, I mean, it could be that she could have ended up in the Fae realm. What's interesting is the time thing, you know? So that's what's weird to me, is that she obviously wasn't still in the same place running on the same linear time.
Right, exactly. And you know, the dark sky and then suddenly bright again, suddenly being in a clearing. I'm curious if you ever went back to see if there was another clearing there, but that would be the only thing I would suggest, is let's get a team out there and see if there's any unusual energy readings or anything else out there.
Yeah, no, I agree. What's interesting is the time jump.
And the fact that the barbed wire disappeared.
That's, yeah, Bethany, if you want to give us more specifics, we would love it. I'm not going. Thank you. As my beautiful granddaughter would say, no, thank you.
No, thank you. All right. Okay. Moving on, Erica. On to you.
Here we go. Well, we had an unwanted visitor here on my farm last night. Okay. Why do
Good
I
way to start? These?
Yep. We had a rogue Sasquatch that decided to pay a visit. How did one assume it was rogue? Rogues in quotation.
Let's hear the story and we'll decide. Glad we're reading these in daytime, right?
Yes. Oh, you know my rule, Mark. I will not read these in the night anymore. Yep. Okay, let's see. Rogue Sasquatch. We were all sound asleep when all of a sudden we were jolted awake, shaking. Right outside of the house, outside of our bedroom, the Sasquatch let out one of the largest squalls I have ever heard. Its lung capacity was huge, and it rattled and vibrated the walls and windows. My wife, daughter, and I were all shaking. It squalled a couple more times before I could get outside. Shaking, heart racing, jumped out of bed, threw my shoulder holster with my Glock, grabbed my 5,000 lumen flashlight I keep beside the bed, put on my shoes, and also grabbed my Taurus Judge. What is that? Is that a gun?
That's a gun, yeah.
Okay, and ran outside. As I got outside, it yelled and howled again. It was so loud, it vibrated my head and chest. I was on guard, carefully walking towards where I thought it was, trying to see if I could see it beside the house, or was it over the fence? When I got to the fence, I heard a different Sasquatch yell out from behind the house. Its yell was much lower, growlier, raspy yelled, and it yelled out twice. The second time it yelled, all of a sudden the Sasquatch beside me took off. It startled me because it was so close and I could not see it. It was about 6 feet away. The brush and trees beside me moved as it took off running down the valley through the field, breaking brush as it went. It was leaving fast. It wasn't scared of me being so close, but it was more scared of the elder, quote unquote, that yelled. I went up behind the garage and the barn, following the sound of the brush breaking to see if I could see it over in the field. That thing was moving so fast and covered such a large distance quickly. By the sound of the brush breaking, I can tell it was traveling toward my aunt's house. Between me and my aunt's house are two valleys and a ridge to cross. As I got up behind the garage and the barn to look over in the field, I could also see my aunt's house from where I was. It stopped and I heard it yell out again. This time it was over behind my aunt's house. It scared my cousin. Her porch light came on, and as she ran out and fired two shots and yelled, "What was that?" She was looking around with her flashlight and went back to the house. I could tell it smart. Ran down the ridge. What?
I said, that's smart.
Yeah. I like that she went out, shot two shots, and then yelled, "What was that?" Okay. I could tell it ran down the ridge farther away and yelled one last time. The sound was far off. I went in the barn to check to my animals to make sure they were okay. They were scared and agitated. I'd be scared and agitated.
That was a lot. Oh, my gosh.
I stayed out for about an hour looking and listening just to see if it circled and came back. As I was walking around the house looking and listening, I could hear coyotes howl off in the distance over the ridges. I walked up behind the house to look down the ridge. For the tree line, I heard a whistle and a low grunt. I knew right then it was the clan elder. He will whistle at me sometimes when I'm out in the yard. I thanked him and let him know I appreciated. He grunted and walked off. Even with my gun in hand, the elder was not afraid because he knew I would not harm him. His clan stays around here on my farm, down on the ridges, and down in the valleys behind our house. The quote-unquote elder was the one I heard as he let the rogue Sasquatch know it's time to move on. Ah, now I get the rogue Sasquatch.
Yeah, there you go.
This is the second time a rogue Sasquatch came through, but it was the first time it came within feet of the house. The one that came here before was down the ridge behind the house. Our clan elder also ran that one off as well. The elder will come by at times and tap on the bedroom or living room window and sometimes slap the side of the bedroom wall. We are used to that. He's just letting us know he's around and all is well. I can hear him speak sometimes when he's outside the bedroom wall. I determined this was a rogue Sasquatch, like the one before had come across from West Virginia, and maybe the same one as before, a different one. I've had reports of mean Sasquatch over in West Virginia causing issues. Each time Rogue yelled, he had every coyote in the area stirred up and howling. There was a large pack of coyotes on the West Virginia state line ridge howling. Coyotes over the mountain behind our house howling. The coyotes also had the neighbor's dogs barking as well. Coyotes even had my cousin's sheepdog, Katie, out barking to keep them away from her sheep she guards. My cousin has a sheepdog and mini donkey that guards his herd of sheep on the farm, which is over a mile away on the West Virginia state line. Keep scotching, Dan.
Wow. Well,
thank you, Dan. I absolutely love a mini donkey is guarding a herd of sheep. That makes me incredibly happy.
That's a common thing. They can get trained for that. I saw recently a goose got trained for that as well. Now, back to the Bigfoot and the Sasquatch. I have heard clans defending their territory from intruder Sasquatch or Bigfoot. And West Virginia-Virginia border, that happens. West Virginia-Kentucky border. That happens. That southern corner, that happens to be an area we're researching quite a bit for another book. So we've actually dealt with some teams up there. Our good friends, Wild and Weird, would love to hear this story, I'm sure. And we will make sure they get a copy. And man, I'd love to be on that property at some point and maybe get an encounter with the Elder. I don't know if I want one with the Rogue Squatch, but they do make a yowl. They make a howl, and that is what we hear from all these hunters out there, and that will stir up all the animals, coyotes, anything. And sometimes you'll hear bobcats howl back or screech back. And that's why some zoological people say, oh, it's just a type of bobcat yell. It's like, no, it's a little different. They sound completely different.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. But Dan, thank you so much. And I'm so glad you have some old men of the woods watching out for you and your family. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. So yeah, keep in touch. All right. Yeah. So up for me. Not sure what I saw in North Carolina. Oh, goodness, Erica. That's us.
I don't want that.
Hey, guys, this is a long story, kind of. I've lived in my current house in North Carolina for about 3 years. When I first moved in, I had all kinds of weird encounters at night. I would be outside burning off tree limbs and things like that. Oh, don't do that right now. We have a statewide burn ban thanks to all the wildfires. I always felt like something was watching me. The first few nights, I heard what sounded like someone calling for help, very muffled from the woods that surround my house. Ooh, we know that one,
Eric. Yeah, we know the answer to that.
Yep.
Walk away.
I shrugged it off. Good for you. After a few times of that, I was walking the tree line and looking for more wood to throw in the fire. Now, keep in mind, this is about 1 to 2 a.m., and I had a 30-30 shell thrown at me. I don't own a 30-30, so I thought it was very weird. Anyway, this goes on for a few months until my ex came in and we brought our kids into the house to live. My ex had chickens and a pig that got out of their enclosure and they were killed. She threw the carcasses into the woods. I don't know why she did that either. But after that, all the spooky stuff stopped. No more eerie feelings, no noises, nothing. I have a theory on that right there.
Okay. Yeah, me too. Go ahead. Yeah.
Now fast forward to last month. I've since gotten a new girlfriend, and she takes her dogs out in the early a.m. hours before she leaves for work. I leave the house at 4:15 a.m., so it's probably around 5:30 or so when she's out with them. Twice in the last 2 months, she's seen what she described as something large and pale in the wood line. The first time was last month. It saw her and hurried off. This morning, as she was walking the dogs, our large dog was barking like crazy when she saw this white creature again. She said it moved like it was scuttling, larger than a deer and on all fours, but what almost looked like a human running on all fours. As soon as the dogs got a good look at it, and they began trying to run back into the house, she and the dogs flew back inside and she got ready to leave for work. She didn't see anything else so far, but I'm wondering what's up. What could we do? What does it sound like? All the other encounters I've had never saw a physical form, only noises and eerie feelings. According to her, this thing has moved closer to the house up the wood line. I'm just kind of lost. I doubt shooting it would help. Any advice or theories would be welcome. Anonymous.
Well, shooting it is probably not going to help you. And I don't think this is the same thing that was there before. So that's what I'm immediately going to say is it sounds like the animals appeased whatever it was that was there before.
Exactly.
And that's where it was gone.
Yep. Right. So I said, you made an offering and it took it.
It left and it was good. This sounds like a white thing. And we've been hearing about a lot of these in North Carolina recently for, over a year now. We've had listeners send us stories from North Carolina where they've seen white things. So, Mark, what is a white thing?
They're basically like an albino or gray colored Sasquatch. They tend to have white or gray hair, and they tend to blend in with the wintertime mountains around here. That's what many people think. They live up above the snow lines on some of the Smoky Mountains, which only have snow lines in the winter, but that's where they tend to hang out. So that's where most of the sightings are. This is something coming down the hill and running on all fours. They've been known to do that from some of the sightings where they tend to run on all fours, which is a little different than some Sasquatch sightings and Bigfoot sightings. So
I would do the peanut butter trick. That is what I recommend to see.
Highly recommend. Yep. Which just buy a jar of peanut butter.
Yep.
Take the lid off, take the paper lining off, then tighten the lid back and leave it out on the edge of your property, maybe along that tree line. see if anything comes and takes the sample. You might make a new offering and that might solve all your problems. But again, doesn't sound like it's being threatening. It's just there and the animals are reacting to it. So they see it as a predator. So they bark, they howl, but it's not threatening you. So, you know, just be safe.
Yeah, I would try that. Let us know what happens after you try the peanut butter trick. And you don't tighten it all the way. You just mostly tighten it so nothing can get at it that's not got, like, basically human or bigger hands.
Yeah, you don't want raccoons and other things getting into it. So, yeah.
But
or bears.
See if it, and place it in a place where it has to be picked up. Like, it can't just knock over or roll away. I would do that to start, and then... We have a lot of very good teams here in North Carolina. Tim Dill, the Southern Squatching and stuff.
Yeah, say so, Dirty South Squatching. We've got other people in the area.
So
let us know where you're at.
Yeah. If you want to, let us know where you're at and we can send somebody. Let us know if the peanut butter works because you just might have, you might be on a hunting path for it or something. Not in a bad way, just where it travels and you just, that's when it sees you because, you know, if I was going to be this kind of thing, I wouldn't be out during the day a lot because you'd see me with the white or gray hair. So anyway, that's our thoughts. Okay. Right. Thank you, Anonymous.
Thank you, Anonymous. And we're happy to keep you anonymous if you write these in, gang. So,
yeah.
And this one's to you, Erica. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Hey, Erica. Well, hello. 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 You wanted dimensional shifts? Here goes. Oh, gosh. I love you, travelers, when you fulfill these wonderful desires I have. Okay. I have to share the story because everyone thinks I'm crazy, but I truly think I went into an alternate reality. Well, first of all, I don't think you're crazy. Continue.
No, none of us think you're crazy.
Yeah. I was driving to my boyfriend at the Times apartment. I have been there 100 times every single day. I always put his address in my GPS, though, because I know exactly where it's going, but it's just a comfort thing for me. By the way, I get that. I don't know why, but my anxiety kicks in if I don't have it, even though I've been there 50,000 times.
Well, I do it to watch for traffic and cops.
Yeah. Well, because cops are great.
They monitor the speed limit. And
yeah,
I just want to know they're doing their job.
Yeah, Mark never is. Okay, I arrived at his apartment, texted him, and I was there, and he said he was going to come down the stairs and get me. Everything was exactly the same. Same spot I always parked in, same street, same house across the street from me, everything. About 5 minutes or so, I became irritated. He tended to take a while to come out, so I decided just to go in. A little description to his apartment lobby. He had massive electric blue stairs to the left, and at the top of them on the wall were some ugly flower decals and a mirror on the wall to my right. I remember always being super weirded out by the landlord's choice of stair color, for I'd never seen anything quite like it. As I got to the lobby, everything was exactly the same. Bright blue stairs, the mirror hanging on the wall, right? Everything except for the flower decals at the top. I remember thinking, well, at least he got rid of those ugly stickers. I called my boyfriend and told him I was in the lobby, and he proceeded to tell me they'd been waiting outside forever and had to hurry up and stop playing jokes on him. I became irritated. I said I was in the lobby. I had been there a million times, and he knew I was there. He became frustrated with me, for he thought I was messing with him. Then he sent me his location and told me to get back in my car and go to his house, but using his location. I'm not even joking you. It had me take a right at the end of the street, then another right, then another right, then another right. I went full circle, and there he was standing outside. Whoa. Oh, my God. I got goosebumps. Okay. At this point, I became beyond confused. Got out of the car. I felt like I couldn't even walk straight. I was so disoriented. I started crying for some reason with just overwhelming emotions, and I didn't know why. As we walked to the lobby, there were the bright blue stairs and the ugly flower decals at the top. No one has ever believed me when I share the story, but I know I was in his house the first time, but everything was slightly off. I firmly believe I was in alternate reality. Kylie. Kylie, I'm going to say I believe you 10,000%. It sounds like a lot of these glitches in the matrix that you hear are not long. They're momentary glitches in the matrix. And generally, there is not a radical difference that people necessarily experience. Like, sometimes it's very subtle, but I believe you 10,000%. It sounds like you dimension shifted.
Yeah, I mean, it could be as simple as some sort of weird panic attack that took you, you know, that took you into the wrong place. But it sounds to me 100% like you were in another place in another time. And
yep.
I think, you know, a dimension slip or a glitch in the matrix, those are the perfect explanations for that. We don't think you're crazy. So
I don't think you're crazy, Kylie. I believe you 100%. And I get how truly scary that can be, because it's not like you saw a shimmer or there's a glittery doorway or you heard a pop. You just walk in and you're like, wow, when did they paint the ceiling red? You know, like, and it's not the case. Yeah. But Mark, I think we have time for one more before the break.
Yeah, definitely. And this one's kind of short anyway. I still don't know how to explain this, but I will try my best. A friend of mine and I went to a mall called A+ near our neighborhood to dine. On the top floor, there is a local fast food chain restaurant most people know and eat at. We sit down, order, eat some chicken and salads, and then leave. I also go to the gym in the same mall. And after 2 days, when I came back to work out, the place was gone. Not just closed, but turned into another establishment over the course of 48 hours. I asked the employees what happened to the other place. They looked at me in the eyes like I was crazy. The guy who owns the place told me he doesn't know what I'm talking about and I need to leave. The name of the place, the signs, the furniture, all different. Completely different place that was obviously changed. But no one acknowledged the existence of the place we used to eat at. I asked a couple that was sitting there as well, but they said they didn't even know what I meant either. I know it could have been bought and renovated, but the fact that no one said anything about it and that it happened in 48 hours or maybe less is disturbing. I asked other business owners as well, and no one seems to know anything. I feel so weirded out. What is causing them to hide the truth like this? I don't drink or smoke, and I am 20. I could really use some help. Chuck.
Well, wow. Chuck, it sounds like our lovely friend Kylie, you shifted, and it sounds like you didn't shift back.
Yeah. So, welcome to our world.
Welcome to our world.
In this world, Dolly doesn't have braces in Moonraker, which is
And Tom Cruise is not wearing sunglasses in the iconic Risky Business scene.
Yeah.
It's traumatic for us all, Chuck. But honestly, unfortunately, and you're not crazy.
No.
But I don't know that there are easy fixes to this particular situation. The only thing I could kind of recommend is maybe try leaving and going to the mall again with that same friend and like do a repeat. Yeah. Try to recreate the things, I guess, right?
There's a great movie, if you can find it, called Frequently Asked Questions About Time Travel. And Chris O'Dowd from the IT Crowd stars in it. And it's a bunch of friends out at a bar and they go into the restroom. One of them goes to the restroom singing Total Eclipse from the Heart while he's using the bathroom and comes out and it's 20 years in the future and the world has changed. So he goes back in, tries it, gets back to regular time. And it winds up being this time travel experience where he shares with his friends and they keep going backwards and forwards through time. It's amazing. And I highly recommend it. And it sounds exactly like what's happened here is you've switched worlds and timelines and hopefully we can figure out how to get you back.
You know what, Chuck, I would also be interested. One, don't get freaked out because freaking out is not going to help you in this situation whatsoever.
No.
And I would also try some other things and see if that is the only difference. I mean, really, truly look for some other things. Is there a ice cream shop down the street? Is that exactly the same? Like, that's what I would do because I think that will tell you whether or not you're truly stuck here. But
And also just look for little things. I mean, we joke about the Mandela effect, but check into that. See if any of this stuff matches up with what you remember. Also, check with your friends and family and just ask some personal questions and to some history. Just ask about family history and stuff like that. Tell them you're just want to know this stuff. and see if anything doesn't match.
Well, that's... that and this friend, I would go ask this friend too about the restaurant. You went to dinner with a friend. What restaurant do they remember eating at the other night? Anyway, Chuck, I'd love to hear more from you. And travelers, I love this. Thank you for all these glitches in the matrix. I can't wait to see if there's more. But with that, we're going to take a quick break and get a word from our amazing sponsors.
Prepare to be devoured. The Wolves of Wharton is a 6-part complete book series by Eerie Travels producer Beau Lake. It has been called dark and visceral, steamy, dramatic, and a fresh take on the werewolf mythos. If you like action, adventure, a large serving of body horror, and some steamy relations, the Wolves of Wharton series is for you. Pick it up wherever books are sold or at linktree.com/Beau_Lake.
Since we don't hear the actual commercials, I'm wondering if those are our real sponsors or sponsors in another alternate universe. So,
oh man, that would be great. I would love to hear some alternate universe sponsors.
Me too. Okay.
Like Rick and Morty episodes of interdimensional television.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
I was out on call at 2 a.m. approximately. I had stopped at a major intersection waiting for the light to turn green. To my right is a huge cemetery that dates way back. That's all capitals. That's why I said way. I caught movement to my right. Oh, no, no. I already don't like this.
It's already done.
Okay. I caught movement to my right and watched a man walking to the crosswalk in front of me. My car was halfway into the walkway. The guy started walking, walked right through the nope. Ooh. Just got chills. Okay. Whew. Okay. Started walking, walked right through the front of my car like it wasn't even there. Continued walking and literally just vaporized as he got to the center of the crosswalk. He reappeared as soon as he reached the bridge that goes under the overpass and then disappears again. This scared the living shit out of me. Really? Because you scared the living shit out of me too. So... I've always avoided that intersection afterwards and would drive out of my way to avoid it. I avoid talking about this with anyone because I'm afraid I'm going to get tagged as crazy. I know what I saw and I listen to hear other stories. Thanks for your listener tales, Dana. Dana, you are amazing. And thanks for scaring the crap out of me. Luckily it's daylight so I can breathe a little bit and drink some whiskey and go knock myself out. But that sounds like a repeat ghost, though, doesn't it?
100%.
You call stone tape ghosts, right?
Yeah, it sounds like a stone tape where you just constantly, there's somebody's, he's just, that's where he used to walk. I'm not saying he goes, he's in the cemetery. He may be going to visit a friend in the cemetery, and that's just where he disappears. I bet if you went back there, similar, you might see him again. And again, it doesn't sound like he's scaring anybody. It doesn't sound like he's purposely hurting anyone. And again, this is just a witness of a thing that we don't understand. And hopefully we can get out there and study it. Please let us know exactly where that is. I will get a team out there. They will watch that intersection like a hawk. And hopefully we get some information or and some scientific evidence to back that up. That's exactly the stuff we're looking for, is something repeatable like that.
Yes, Dana, but we get it and we understand. But if you want to send us the address, you can totally do that. And we would, by we, I mean other people, not me, will go out to that intersection. I will avoid it like you do. So thank you for letting me know where it is in advance. Yeah. Okay.
No, thank you, Dana. That's perfect. That's exactly, you've reported it. Now, if we have a little more details, we'll put it on some databases. We'll see if anybody else has seen your friend.
So. Yeah. Okay.
My turn. This isn't a dramatic story, but it still creeps me out years later when I think about it. One time I was alone at home. My husband and daughter were out for the day. I was having lunch in the kitchen and getting ready to leave for work. The house was quiet, and I was reading on my phone while eating. Then I heard the distinct sound of a cell phone starting an outgoing phone call. The sound came from around the corner from the hall leading into the kitchen. Being in a relaxed state, my first thought was that it was my husband walking towards the kitchen. But then I remembered he was already out for the work today, and I had dropped my daughter off at school. I froze. My heart started racing, and I listened intensely. The sound disappeared, as in the phone call didn't continue. It was only that initial dialing out of three-tone sounds. Do only androids make this sound? One or two rings, I can't remember exactly, and then dead silence. I put 911 into my phone, ready to dial out. Smart. I stayed in a state of frozen fear for quite a few minutes, listening, expecting someone to make some kind of noise, as I was sure someone else was in the house at this point. The hall leading to the kitchen was also the way to the front door to leave, so I was essentially trapped. As the minutes went by and the dead silence continued, I needed to do something. I needed to get to work. I grabbed a broom and called out, "Hello?" I steeled myself and went into the hall. There was nobody in the house. I checked everywhere, every closet, every room. I left to go to work, but stayed creeped out the entire day. My husband rechecked the house when he came home. We've had no other incidents or evidence of something like an attic squatter, which was also checked. Thought y'all might have some thoughts. Xena. Well.
Xena, my warrior princess.
Yes, I was going to say, thank you for writing. Say hi to Gabrielle and Joxer.
It just sounds like you had a visitor. And by visitor, I mean it could have been a ghost. You know? You don't know.
Yeah, that dialing out sound I haven't heard on a phone in a little while, but I remember that noise.
Yeah.
So it might have been an older phone. I would like you to say hi to your NSA agent who's tapped your house. Maybe that's what it is.
Nope.
Just make sure you don't say any code words out loud.
Like after the Bat Boy episode, we'll just say that the FBI was doing it, and then we'll
the FBI was doing it. Yeah,
stop saying that.
So great. Yeah, X may be there. I don't know. So
you know, yeah. Xena, this is my thoughts is the other thing you could look up just to see is you could look up ley lines near your house. I have a friend, and I've talked about this a little bit, who had lived in a house that things would kind of just travel through because she was right on a ley line is where her house was. And they didn't stay. They didn't get stuck. They just seemed to be traveling on whatever this is. And every now and then there would be one that show up and then it would leave. So that might have been what you had. I wouldn't worry too much about it, though, because it doesn't sound like it was harmful other than scaring the living shit out of you. So
yeah, and it doesn't sound like it's doing anything else. So it doesn't sound like it's a repeating problem. So
yeah.
Good.
But
good.
Keep us updated.
Yeah. Thanks for the letter.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Erica? The other thing, if you really want to, is you could always go get the steel spikes and put them around your house and stuff
never
like
hurts.
That. Yeah, that never hurts. I'm a firm believer in that.
You're basically turning your house into a Faraday cage for the supernatural. It works out great. So, all right, Erica, yep. I think you're going to like this first line on this next one. Yeah. So,
I think I met a vampire. Help? Was his name Edward Cullen? No.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Oh, which reminds me, Stacy Brown was delivered a copy of Twilight by Mark for me. And he took a picture with Mark with a big old smile on his face.
Yeah.
So, I think Stacy has been lying to all of us about his Twilight feelings. So,
he did have the Robert Pattinson cover. And he did admit to me that Robert Pattinson is one of his favorite actors. So, mostly for Stacey, the Lighthouse. But yeah. I think Twilight's in there too.
Yeah. So. Stacy, calling you out, bro. Calling you out. Here we go. Okay.
All right.
So I go to college near Springfield, Massachusetts. I was walking the city kind of late, maybe around 11 p.m. I cut through this side street when a guy steps out of the alleyway licking his lips. White dude, about 6 feet, late 20s, but the way he was dressed was way off, like 80s attire. Kind of outdated, but not in a hipster way, just old. Okay, I'm mildly offended by that comment. But
I was waiting for that.
Yeah. He spotted me, made a beeline for me, and asked me for directions. The second he got close, I swear to God, he smelled like blood. It was dark, so I couldn't see what he was drinking, but he was holding something, a bottle, a cup, no clue. I remember fixating on his canines. They weren't long, but they were sharp, like noticeably sharp. Then he asked me where the nearest payphone was. I told him I had no idea because who the hell uses a payphone in 2025? But the weirdest part, okay, how's that not the weirdest part of this? Yeah, the weirdest part, he had an accent, European one. But he first tried to speak Tagalog to me. I'm Filipino, but I only speak English. I laughed a little because, like, why did he assume? But now I think about it, how did he even know Tagalog? Am I saying that right? Tagalog?
Yeah, Tagalog. That's a Filipino language.
Yeah. And then it got really weird. No, it's already really weird. Whoever. Okay. Oh, my God. For a split second, it felt like the air got sucked out of the street, like everything stopped. No wind, no distant cars, no nothing. Just silence. I turned my head for a half second, maybe instinctively. When I looked back, he was gone. Not walking away, not turning a corner, just gone. I know he was real because when he first walked towards me, he kicked a rock and I heard it skid across the pavement. I even checked, the rock was there. So yeah, either I met a vampire or something like that, or I ran into some guy cracked out of his mind. Anyone you all know has experienced anything similar? Who do I even contact to report it? What do I do? Danny. Okay, so Danny, my fellow traveler, I feel like this is a glitch in the Matrix. That's what I feel like.
I think you met somebody like one of our previous, like Chuck or one of the others.
Yeah, I feel like that's what happened because it sounds like, and I don't know if the guy had blood on his clothes or something and maybe you just didn't see it and that's why he smelled like blood. But I would say this, it sounds like that person got bumped from somewhere else and a different time. Because not that people can't wear 80s clothes, because trust me, I still have some. But asking about a payphone and stuff like that, nobody would do that now that wasn't potentially a very old person that had dementia. That's my only thing. So
and
that's
you are
my guess.
Talking about the Philippines here, I think, somewhere there. So
yeah,
that would be the only other reason. But again, Tagalog is not 100% spoken in the Philippines. It is a lot of English, a lot of other things. So interesting.
Very interesting.
You definitely met a traveler.
So. Yes. Well, Danny, right. Thank you for writing. And if you want to tell us where this is, we can send somebody to potentially investigate, even if it's in the Philippines, because there are groups all around the world that would do this. If you
and where you report this is to like us, and I'll share it around and see if anybody's seen anything on it. Now I have a date and I have a general place. If you can give me a little more details, I'll get it reported.
Yep. Okay, Mark.
All right. Greetings, travelers. Greetings.
Greetings.
You wanted more weird dimensional tales. Oh,
yes, Eric, I did. Okay.
For context, I have a Polaroid on my wall on my shelf with at least 20 pics, but never any dupes. If you know Polaroids, you'd have to take two pics to get the same extra copies. Never have, even for group pics. I love that Polaroids are making a comeback. And
me too.
You can still get Polaroid film. My boyfriend and I were going through a rough patch, and it does not validate his actions at all. But he decided to rip off two pictures from my wall that was from my birthday because the events that followed on this trip. He ripped them up in front of my face. It was a very heated moment, but it was crumpled the best you can ruin a Polaroid. The back film part was even peeling, crumbling off where the image get printed. So I don't know if anybody remembers Polaroids. If you do that, that basically ruins the image. They fade away.
Instantly. Yeah.
So let's see. Okay. During this entire ordeal, I'm texting my best friend about what he's doing. I took pictures of the Polaroids before he took them from me and destroyed them. He tossed them in the trash, and this is the part that gets me. I went back in my trash and saved them. Those are my cherished memories, and I'm painfully sentimental. Also, I felt like if I kept them, I was standing up for myself in a way. Yes, you were. Good job.
Yeah.
So I know I was on thin ice if he found out that I saved them. But I put them in my makeup bag for the time being until I tossed them into one of my drawers. So a couple days pass, and I'm thinking I have to find those Polaroids, because if he found them, it would be a whole repeat of that whole night. I'm looking in my drawers, and I find them, but they were in perfect condition, along with all my other pictures. I'm tweaking at this point, trying to find a way to fact check that they were the same Polaroids. So I go back to the texts I sent my best friend, and sure enough, those Polaroids match the ones I sent him. I looked in the makeup bag and I hid them in, and I still see small pieces of the black film that got ripped up. To this day, I cannot find the crumpled or destroyed Polaroids. I haven't obviously been able to validate this with my partner, since to his knowledge, those pictures don't exist anymore. I know there weren't any dupes. I know he looked through that exact pile I had found them in to find those pictures after I had tried to hide them before he got his hands back on them. I just don't know if it was such a high intensity moment that something shifted. I don't know. What makes me not doubt myself is the fact that I have texts from that night, including pictures of the Polaroids before he did it. And since I was sending my best friend updates on our situation in real time, this best friend also went on this birthday trip with me from where the pics were took, so he knew exactly what I was talking about. Ideas? Similar stories? Laura.
Well, Laura. Okay, I have a couple of different ideas. One,
right.
This could be you shifted. I don't know.
Yep.
That's possible, I guess. The other thing I would actually say is... it's entirely, there are things that we just don't know what they are preternatural, and maybe something like fae related fixed it for you, kind of thing.
Yeah, like the cobbler in the shoes.
Yeah, kind of situation. Didn't undo it, but use whatever ability they have to fix it. So either way, I'd say that you have a little bit of a guardian. I hate using the term angel, not from a religious standpoint, but like a little guardian watching out for you.
And it sounds like you're in a heated situation, tense moments. I hope things get better, and you know, I hope things are working out better for you. But, and hopefully your best friend can help you with that, because it does sound like you guys went through an event. There's some sort of intensity with it, and you took photos. Polaroids are powerful things. Look at Beetlejuice, you know, and then suddenly it's appeared again, perfectly intact. That's amazing. Just be happy that happened, that you got it back and you have those memories again. So don't look a gift horse in the mouth a little bit, but also take care of yourself and know there are resources out there that can help you if you're in a tough situation. So.
Absolutely. And if you don't know where those resources are, you can always reach out to us and we will help direct you if you tell us the approximate area where you live. And of course, we won't reveal that, but many good vibes to you, Laura.
Yeah, Laura, all the best.
Hey, Mark. Well, this one's for you.
Hey.
My property is severely haunted.
Oh, have fun with this one, Erica.
No. Now I want to stop. Okay. I feel like I know I put this list together because I copied and just pasted things on here.
Yeah, I no longer touched this.
I still ended up in this situation.
I no longer touch this. So this is all you.
Okay. Here we go. In 1995, I purchased about 200 acres for recreational purposes. Over the years, getting out and scouting the area, I found two undocumented cemeteries. The headstones are hand chiseled and so worn out you can't even make out the words or dates, and some don't have any engravings at all. Anyhow, in 2003, I decided to build a cabin and ditch the camper setup. Ever since then, it's like I made something really angry or agitated. Since then, I've walked into the cabin and it appeared to have been turned upside down. Things turned over, things in the floor, you name it. No forced entry, no broken windows, no window locks forgotten to be locked, nothing stolen, just really weird and random times it's happened. In 2005 deer season eve, I invited some close friends to come and stay at the hunt the next morning. We all got in after work 30 and planned to cook steak, have a few beers, and just hang out and catch up. It was about 8 p.m. on a Friday when it started. We had a campfire going out back, sitting telling war stories. Everyone started to get hungry, so I walked inside to grab the platter of steaks. I heard a commotion out by the campfire. The grill was on the back patio, and as I walked out, the guy said you didn't have to hit John with the stick. you couldn't have thrown it at his feet as some chuckling ensued. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean? The guy said, well, somebody threw a 2-foot stick and hit John right in the side of the head. It about knocked him out. I said, man, I walked inside to throw some seasoning on the steaks and grab another beer. It wasn't me. Sure enough, the stick was about 2 feet long and about 1.5 inches in diameter. It was a cold, calm, cold night. No wind and no trees within 50 feet or so of the fire pit. It wasn't a stray limb that broke off and fell on him. John said, I just was standing here with back turned to the fire and heard the stick tumbling through the air, and then boom, it hit me right in the side of the head. He said, I didn't know what the hell was going on, and I figured you were playing a joke or something. He said, I swear it wasn't me. They all kind of jumped up and ran over to the grill where I was, and then they all ran inside to get their rifles, pistols, and flashlights. Someone said there was something in those damn woods. We all eased back outside through the front door really quietly. We got over to the corner of the cabin, came to a stop, and was just listening. You could hear crunching of leaves and a really slow walk from what sounded like about 100 feet away in the woods. We grouped together and started walking towards this thing, turned our flashlights in the vicinity of the walking sound. The woods are pretty clean in this area, not a whole lot of underbrush, so you could see a good ways in the flashlight, but there was nothing, and the walking sound was still going. We were talking about 6 grown men that have been in the woods all our lives, and we were freaked out, to be honest with you. I'm freaked out right now, yeah. And I wasn't even there. Okay. Anyways, we continued the night and kept our heads on swivel, and nothing else happened, but it was weird, Vince, to say the least.
Yep.
A few years later, our kids got old enough to come hang out with us and go hunting on their own. We had a big get together and basically the same people plus a few more. Well, the boys wanted to walk to one of the cemeteries I previously spoke about it. I guess they wanted to see how big they were. So anyways, after we ate, I told them we can walk over later in the night. I put my pistol on my side, grabbed my flashlight, and all the men did the same. The cemetery was about 500-600 yards away from the cabin with a good wide trail through the woods. Okay, I hope you're in a really hilly region and that's why you decided to put your cabin there, but I have words. We're not even done with the story. I have many emotions going through my head. Okay. We got to walking through the woods, and about halfway there, I thought I was hearing something walking next to us, and it wasn't part of the group, but I shrugged it off just thinking my mind was hearing things. Well, my buddy kind of walked up from the middle of the pack and whispered, "Who do you have in the woods?" I knew I wasn't hearing things. I told everybody to stop and don't move and don't say anything. John was there again and quietly said the same thing from 3 or 4 years ago. Again, we all shined flashlights into the vicinity of crunching leaves and there wasn't anything. It was closer this time. We would have been easily able to see someone or an animal, but nothing. We all bolted, ran back to the cabin. To this day, I don't know what it was, but I don't mess around in the woods at night any longer, Carla.
Wow.
Well,
Carla, it sounds like you're a badass.
First of all, I'm very proud of all of you. Second of all, why the hell did you guys put your cabin near a graveyard? But third of all, I actually don't think this is a haunting.
No, I think I love that there are 2 graveyards on your property that you are old, probably settler or pre-war cemeteries. Definitely message. There's some cemetery locators, and they might be able to find out if this was an old settler cemetery. There are so many lost cemeteries in the world. It'd be amazing if we could find 2 new ones. And don't worry, it doesn't devalue your property or anything. It actually helps your property values because they can get protected and they give you money to help keep up the cemeteries. Sounds like you've got something protecting those woods. That's all it sounds like.
Yeah. And I'd do the peanut butter thing. That's what I would do. My first thing, a lot of times people hear Sasquatches, Bigfoot, and they don't see them, and people say that all the time, and they're known for throwing crap. So just maybe. It could be either, but that's where I'm going, Carla.
Well, yeah, that's, I've heard many times. We have friends that they throw rocks, they throw sticks. They're, again, just stay out of our territory. That could be that. So But definitely something's in the woods. Something's guarding the woods. So you're right not to be out there. So
agreed. Okay.
I think we got time for a few more.
Yeah.
So we got to catch up. So these, as always, go a little long, gang. So, all right. Hello, friends.
Hello.
I saw you all at Scarefest, and it was lovely. Oh, we had a lot of fun at Scarefest. I'm not sure we're going to make it back this year, but we did have a lot of fun there. We'll be back there soon, though. I sent in a tale right before about my experience with a ghost in a graveyard while taking photos. I said there would be more, and here comes the next one. Well, thank you so much.
Yay!
I was just starting my current job in 2017 and was staying in my friend's parents' basement while trying to catch up. In this house, in the urn of my friend's brother who passed away, they went on vacation and I stayed behind to work. It was about 3 a.m. and I heard footsteps above me. Confused at why anyone would be here and not tell me, I went upstairs. Upon getting upstairs to the kitchen, I saw the fridge open with a white and blue mist in the form of a person in front of it. I was stunned. I finally was able to leave and get downstairs while hearing the fridge door shut above me. I texted my friend's mother asking about it, and she just casually said, "Oh yeah, sometimes my son gets hungry." I heard the footsteps a few more times over the couple of months I was there and just decided to let him raid the fridge in peace. More to come, Alexander.
Oh my gosh.
Alexander, thank you so much. It was great meeting you at Scarefest. We did enjoy your previous story. I'm so glad you sent us this one. Yeah. I love it. Hungry spirit. That's very common overseas. The Asians talk about the hungry ghosts a lot. That's why they leave rice out for them and leave, you know, stuff out for them, for their family members, their ancestors and stuff like that. So, woo, love it.
Crazy. Okay, here we go.
Blue-white mist has been mentioned many times with certain ghosts. So.
Yes, agreed. Greetings, travelers.
Greetings.
I'd like to get your take on something that happened to me a couple of weeks ago. Quite a quick bit of backstory. In the fall of 2023, I became very ill. I had to have surgery, and by Christmas, I had to quit my job and move in with relatives while I began a long recovery process. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. My relatives live in a new subdivision that backs to the desert in the Phoenix area. As part of my recovery, I have been taking long daily walks on desert trails. The trail I usually take has an entrance on a cul-de-sac a couple of blocks from our home. I was returning from my walk one day and I noticed one of the Palo Verde trees had several birds' nests in it. I'm interested in desert life, not an expert, but learning, and I did not recognize this type of nest, so I stopped to get a closer look. As I looked around, I noticed several of the other trees around the trail entrance also had these nests in them. I hadn't noticed any nests on my way to the desert, but coming back, once I noticed them, they were all over the place, and there was a bird, just one, in the tree to my left. Deep, solid, azure-colored feathers. It was a tiny bird about the size of a hummingbird. It might actually have been a hummingbird, but it sort of had a short beak and the tail was short. If it was a hummingbird, it was a variety I wasn't familiar with. After a few minutes, I realized I was getting very tired, so I went home. I mentioned the bird to my relative, but she didn't know what it might have been. It was a quick internet search, but didn't turn up anything, and I got busy and forgot about it. My health has been improving, and I've been able to return to work part-time. The first week really zapped my energy, though, so I didn't take my usual desert walk for about a week. When I did, I remembered the bird and decided to take a picture so I could identify it. When I got to the trail entrance, not only were the birds and birds' nests gone, but so were the trees. There was one Palo Verde tree on the south side of the trail entrance with a couple further down on the trail, but on the side I saw the bird, there was no tree. The trees had the nests were gone, but they've never been there. The trees that had the nests were gone. They've never been there. I've walked this trail almost every day for a year. I know this path. I know the trees. There has never been a tree on the north side of this trail entrance. So I'd seen the trees where they should have been. No trees. And it seemed normal. I only wondered about the bird because I was interested in identifying it. I even talked about the bird later and never once thought about the trees being where the trees had no business being. What the fuck? I read about people who think they've experienced time in a parallel universe. My daughter thinks I might spend a few minutes in one. But with the stories I've heard, people realize that something is different. I didn't. And I really, really should have. I don't think I'm crazy, but I'm starting to wonder. Have you ever heard of something like this happening, Julianne? 10,000%, Julianne. And yes, you did do a dimension shift, it sounds like.
Yep,
that's exactly how they work. I'm telling you, a lot of times it's not a huge difference that you see. And it's not like, there have been a few stories where people have gone into places where like the deer were walking on two legs and the trees were red or something. Like it was definitely weird. But however this, and I'm sure a physicist could explain this way better, but however this next to dimension layering works, I don't think they're very far off.
Yeah. It's again, minor differences. And the, and that is common at the people we've talked to have experienced this said exactly like that, that they didn't notice anything wrong until later when they thought about it or when they went back and it was different. And they're like, wait a minute, I remember it this way and that way. And that's kind of Mandela effect stuff where we don't realize something's changed until we go back to it. And we go, wait a minute, I remember this differently. So, yeah, I think it messes with your brain, too. I think that's one of the things we need to study on this phenomena is how does it affect our mental acuity and all that. That might help us a lot more. We're just now discovering new things about the brain. Just like, you know, for a long time, we thought the brain's a computer. You know, data. Now we learn it's a learning algorithm. And because we're learning about learning algorithms, we now understand it better. And we're starting to understand the brain a little more. I think preternatural, we're going to learn all this stuff eventually. And it's all going to make sense. We're going to be like, oh, so if you go through a dimension shift, just take three of these and call me in the morning. Something like that's coming. I promise.
Well, and I think we should do two more, Mark.
Yeah, I think one more each. We got a couple short ones up next, so that's perfect. Yep. So.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Julianne. Tell me if Dolly has braces where you're at. Okay, so I told my sister they experimented on us when I was in prison and no one believed me. They gave us pills when we went to sick bay and said it was penicillin or ibuprofen. A few times I woke up in a trance with intense lights and hospital personnel. I couldn't see straight after I was returned to the barracks. And I woke up a few times at wake up call in an intense haze and colors or what looked like an operating table in a lab. I just remember a buddy of mine asking me to snap out of it in the morning a couple of times because I was hallucinating upon waking up. It was very confusing and foggy. My head was spinning. And my vision was full of lights and people wearing white body suits and masks. When I got home years later, I told my sister they were enhancing our intelligence or other cognitive abilities. It modified our emotions and made us highly intelligent. She thought I was crazy, but 15 years later, an article about jail experiments and a show on Netflix hits, and she wrote me, "Do you remember when you told me that?" And I said, "I told you they experimented on us and nobody believed me." Rodriguez.
Wow.
Yep. It's true. The stuff that we think is conspiracy theories, I like to call them spoilers. I think we, a lot of things that when I was a kid, the Kraken was a mythological creature. We now know giant squids are real. UFOs were, no, we don't talk about that. Project Blue Book's closed. Oh, we have a secret government program that's been studying them ever since. And we're talking about it in Congress now. So, yeah, this is just one more of those things, man. And you're living proof why we do what we do. Yes, we look into these things because it comes out in the end. It just takes a while. And I'm sorry you had to go through all that, man. I'm glad you, sounds like you got your life back and you're doing better. But, yo, watch that special. I know that exact documentary you're talking about. And that was crazy.
Agreed. Okay, so. Where am I at here? Okay.
What's up, Erica? Hello from the Appalachian Trail.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Hello from the AT Erie Travelers.
Hello. We are very familiar with the AT. So.
Yeah. I am about to section hike the Appalachian Trail. In my research, I found there are people who believe there are a number between 10 and 15, according to what I've read so far, of cryptid species that are on or near the trail. To be completely honest, I don't think this is anything but folklore and superstition, but I'm also interested in why these beliefs persist. That said, I'm trying not to approach anything with a closed mind, and if there are any specific places or things people suggest I look around for, I would be glad, even excited, to report back. I've done long distance hikes before, and much of it can be a grind. Having new things to look for, explore, and to find out about would be a lot of fun. I was going to keep a video journal anyway, and this seems like anything interesting I will post to you all as I go. Oh, I love that. I hope this is appropriate to ask about. I'm brand new to the creepy community, and if it isn't, I will shut up about it. Thanks in advance, Rugby, which is the trail name. Well, Rugby trail name, I will say this. I don't know much, but if you grab Mark's book, Eerie Appalachia, it tells you about a lot of the creeps in there, and I promise you, he absolutely doesn't pay me to plug this. Generally, I tell him to shut up when he does. But his book is all the way through there, and it does go over a lot of the creatures that are seen in that area.
Yep, there's a lot of folklore. There's a lot of legendary beasts. There's a lot of holler monsters, or depending on the further south, they're called coves, but it's the same thing. And that Appalachian communities have tons of stuff. The Cherokee talk about tons of things. We've got a lot in our next book coming soon, Eerie Travels Presents the Dark Side of the Smoky Mountains. And that one should be available for pre-order shortly. And
it might be available to pre-order now. Check the show notes.
We're very close, gang. And while we're recording this, and this is going to air a couple weeks out, it could be up. So if it is, the link will be there. But go to eerietravels.com. There's a placeholder pre-order page right now anyway.
But so, this is what I will tell you, Rugby. If you hear whistling, don't whistle back.
Right.
If you hear somebody calling your name or talking to you that you are not expecting, do not answer it. Do not follow it. Regardless if you are a believer or not, I am just warning you, there are many people who have disappeared off the Appalachian Trail. And I know we're much better with documentation and stuff, but it actually still happens fairly regularly. So please just be aware of that sort of thing as you're doing it. And I would, because there are a lot of little stops you get to do and stuff like that, I would talk to some of the people that live right along that trail that help travelers and see what their stories are. Because, you know, I think that it's easy in our minds to discount things we're hearing and seeing. And sometimes they're just absolutely normal things, right? One of the earlier stories could have been a weirdo that still dresses in the 80s who doesn't realize what decade he's in. But the fact that he just disappeared, kind of awkward, awkward. So that's what I would say. Just actually be careful and pay attention. And if you have something throwing sticks and rocks at you and you hear something thumping on a tree, that may be an old man of the woods, a Sasquatch.
Yep. And like I said, every town you stop in, ask around about local legends, local folklore. Ask around about Bigfoot, UFOs. People might think you're weird, but then other people go, oh, yeah, saw him the other day, and this is the area. And that's where we get our stories. That's how we started. That's how we do our books. Yeah. This is where we get this. And it's amazing to me. You'll be surprised how much Appalachian Trail has amazing stories. And they all follow familiar patterns. It's the same folklore of the Scottish Highlands and Ireland and all that, because it's the same mountains just before that giant Brexit when they decided to leave. This is the kind of stuff that why we live for. So please send us your documentation. That's great. Definitely keep in touch with people. Check in all the places you're supposed to check in so people can follow your progress. You know, Rugby, that sounds like a great trail name. I think you're going to have fun. Appalachian Trail, we section hiked bits of it, but that was back when I was younger. And now we travel to the towns that it intersects with and get their stories and stuff. So keep us posted. You'll be surprised. Keep your eyes open. You will find plenty of things to see along the Appalachian Trail. Hopefully you can do the Bartram Trail sometime. That's another one that we love and has some really cool, it's like a sub trail of the Appalachians. If you get tired of the AT, which no one ever gets tired of the AT, but
yeah.
But anyway, good luck. Good hunting.
And we can't wait to see your progress. Please keep us informed. We'd love it. We have a few stories more to go, but we've run out of time for this one. So we promise we will finish catching up. But please send us more of your stories. We love, love, love them. And I think last time I asked for monsters under the bed, and I think those have started coming to me. I haven't been reading the stories, but I've seen a couple. Will, Erica's at the beginning, so I feel like I'm in for it next time. But if you got a good monster under the bed or a good dimension ship, you know I love it. And let us know whether Dolly has braces where you're from. Yep. And Mark, take it away.
All right. And again, thank you, patrons, for keeping us going and keeping us chugging along on our eerie travels. Please check out the books when you get a chance. Definitely eerietravels.com. Share it with your friends. And let's get more listeners on so we can get more listener tales. We want more travelers. We want all the travels. And we want all the spooky things. Thank you for sending us these. These are awesome. And we have some follow-ups on some older ones coming very soon. I've been talking with teams that have been researching things for a couple years now since we started. It's hard to believe we've been doing this for a couple years now. But we've got so much more coming ahead of you. So thank you all so much. With that said, when you're out there in the woods and you hear strange noises or someone throws a 30-30 shell at you or somebody throws a rock at your head, just remember, could be your best friend. Could be somebody else trying to let you know that they're there. Could also be the elder who's letting you know that you are safe and you are protected. And with that, we'll see you on the other side.
Lowe's knows you take pride in every project. So take on what's next today with a free select Craftsman hedge trimmer or leaf blower when you buy a 20-volt push mower. That's a $119 value on reliable, high-performance Craftsman tools you trust. For the power to do it all, build, repair, restore, maintain, go with Craftsman. Available at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 5/21. While supplies last. Selection varies by location.